Well, good morning and welcome to Trinity. My name is Mike, and this morning we're beginning a new sermon series for the season of Epiphany that I'm calling Called. We're going to be looking at how the ways that God calls and the people God calls, starting this week with Samuel. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to hop up and grab one by the back. They're back there by the hot water for the tea. And just like last week, I'd like to invite kids down front. I even set up the rug this morning that's normally in our little kids ministry space. So come on down. If you're a big kid, you're going to want your journal this morning because we have prizes again for note takers. It's big kids, fourth grade and up. So better go get your journal. Go ahead. Yeah. If you have your journal, go ahead. Bring it up there with you. If you're a smaller kid, under third grade, and thus not likely to take notes, here's my deal for you. Yeah, come on down. If you're third grade and under, look at me real quick. If you would like the prize after church, and it's a good prize, I bought new candy this morning. You need to be able to tell whoever is passing out the candy after church at least one point from this sermon. Okay? And I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to tell you what the main points are. They're pretty straightforward this week. Make sure you know it. We'll have candy for you to choose from after the service. Big kids, we're back on the note game. Come on down. Let's pray first. Gracious God, thank you for this morning, for the chance to be here together to worship. God, thank you for holding off the pending snowstorm a couple more hours so that we could get here safely. I pray now that as we turn our attention to your scripture, that our ears would be open, and minds and hearts to what it is you would say to us this morning. And God, I pray that if I say anything that isn't from you, that those words would quickly be forgotten. And I pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hey, boys, can you guys sit up? Otherwise, I can't see you. You're hidden behind my music stand. It's my own kid. It's always my own kid. No, it's not true. My kids are wonderful. Okay, can I start by telling you a story? Is that okay? Can I start by telling you a story? Somebody nod at me, please, that's sitting down front. Yes, I would love to hear a story, Pastor Mike, about your life. I don't tell very many stories about my life, but this one I'm going to tell you, all right? This is when I was first, I believe I was first called to ministry. Three conversations through people I trusted. It wasn't something that I was looking for. I didn't have like a plan when I was 10 years old to become an Anglican priest or to be a pastor. It certainly wasn't something that I was expected, but I'm quite certain that God was speaking to me. I was just barely 20 years old. I was a sophomore in college. I just turned 20. And over the course of like 2 or 3 weeks, I had three different people tell me, Mike, I think you should consider perhaps going into ministry. Three different people. This was not on my radar. Up until that point, I thought, well, first when I was like, I don't know, 12, I thought I was going to be an explorer. Like I had read a bunch of biographies about Magellan and Columbus and those guys, and I said, man, it'd be really cool to explore new places, and so I was going to get on a wooden ship and sail around the world. And then by the time I was like 15 or 16, I realized there weren't really like seas to explore soon, and so then I decided I wanted to be an astronaut. And I thought so seriously that perhaps I wanted to explore space that my mother actually took me to tour the Air Force Academy, because I decided that perhaps the best way to become an astronaut was first to become an Air Force pilot. And so we went and we toured it, and I thought, man, this is pretty cool. Maybe I could be an astronaut, except I would be terrible in the military because I'm not really good at following instructions, and I'm not known for being attentive to detail. And so then I thought, well, maybe I'll be a writer. I love to read. I'd always loved to read. And so I thought, man, it'd be really cool to write books. And so I got to college. My intent was to be an English major and then to be a writer. And after one semester of college English, I realized I really like reading books. I really don't like being told by academics what to think about books. And so I dropped the English major and said, well, what am I interested in? Well, I'm interested in religion and history. And so I started studying religion and history, and my plan was to be a professor, to study church history. And let me tell you, there are a couple other pastors in this room. Most of us who become pastors, certainly the men, before that think maybe we want to be academics. And some of us, like Mike back there in the back, go full circle and actually become academics. But that was my thought. I'm going to be a professor until those three conversations from three different friends who hadn't talked to each other. There was no like secret plan to try to get me to be a pastor. I know this because one of those three was Jenny, who I'm now married to. And I know that she had no intention or plan. Like sometimes there are girls who love the idea of being a pastor's wife. Or I don't know. And she was not one of those. Jenny grew up Catholic. She had no frame of reference for what it was to be a pastor's wife because priests in the Catholic Church don't have wives, right? And Jenny was one of those. And by the time I'd been asked, or the third time, Mike, I think perhaps you ought to consider a call to ministry, I listened. Sometimes it takes three times. And I spent the next year discerning with others, what am I look like to be a pastor? Our Bible story this morning is about hearing God speak. Okay, it's about hearing God speak. So if you have a Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, grown-ups, there's definitely like a thing there. Eli's sight is growing dim. Not a lot of people are seeing the Lord. That's a talk for another time. Eli was lying down in his own bed. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple where the ark of God was. And the Lord called to Samuel. And Samuel said, I'm here. And he ran to Eli. And he said, Eli, I'm here. You called me, right? And Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and he laid down. Now this is so cool. Kids, eyes on me. This is so cool. This is the very first verse tells us, do you remember? That Eli was what?
A child.
He's a little boy. Eli was a little boy. And it tells us that he was ministering to the Lord. Do y'all know that you do that too? Y'all do that too. Every time you pray and you sing and you serve, you're ministering to the Lord just like Samuel was. Now, Samuel goes to bed, and as he's lying in bed, he hears a voice. Samuel! He thinks it's Eli, the priest who he lives with. So he hops up and he runs down the hall to Eli, and he says, I'm here, what do you need? And Eli responds, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Okay? This would be like if one of you, you're lying in bed, you hear a voice, you run up, you run to your mom and dad's room, Mom, Dad, is there something that you need? And they're like, what are you talking about? You're supposed to be in bed. Go back to sleep. Is that what your parents would say? That's what I would say.
That's not what you say.
To my children, it's 100% what I would say. Certainly the first time. And this brings me to my first point. So if you're not a note taker, pay attention here. My first point, God speaks. Can you say it back to me?
God speaks.
And God speaks to kids. He does, right there in the Bible. Notice here, he doesn't speak to the priest. Eli is a priest. He doesn't speak to the priest. He doesn't speak to the old man. He speaks to the kid. He speaks to the kid. Now, kids, look at me real quick. Pause in your note-taking for just a moment. You might be tempted to think that you're too young or too inexperienced for God to speak to you. And let me just tell you, you're not. Even the smallest of you, you're not too young, you're not too small, you're not too inexperienced for God to speak to you. And I can tell you right now that God will say things to you that he might not say to me, okay? And he might say things to you, look at me real quick. You don't have to write this down. God might say things to you that he won't say to your parents, right? Or he won't say to your priest, okay? God speaks to kids. He might say things to you, he might not say to me, just like he called Samuel in the middle of the night and not Eli. Now, I want you to turn back to your grown-ups. Okay, and actually I'm going to ask you to stand up and run back to your grown-ups without walk. Actually, let's walk. Don't trample each other. I don't know, not yet. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, okay? I want you to go back to your grown-ups, because grown-ups, we often need to hear this. Our lives can get busy and our lives can get distracted and our lives can get full and we can get so calloused that sometimes it's hard for us to hear God's voice. Sometimes it is easier for kids to hear the voice of God. So what I want you to do is get up. Don't run over each other. Don't run over Mrs. Niebauer. Go back and tell your grown-ups that God still speaks, okay? Go tell them. They need to hear it from you.
God still speaks.
Yes. Perfect.
God still speaks.
All right. Now make your way on back. Back to the story. How about that? The first time God speaks to Samuel, Samuel runs to Eli, and what does Eli do? Somebody tell me. Sends him back to bed. That's right. And then in verse 6, God speaks again. The Lord called Samuel. This is verse 6. Samuel! And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, I'm here, you called me. He said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now, I have a confession to make. At this point, if I'm Eli, I'm probably thinking you're just trying to procrastinate bedtime. Get back to bed. It's time to sleep. Eli is perhaps kinder than me, or maybe that part of the conversation just isn't included in the Bible. He sends him back to bed, and it says Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, what he means by that is Samuel hadn't yet heard God speak, okay? The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. God had never spoken to him a time, so God calls a third time. Can I just say, how cool is it that God repeats himself? Grown-ups, we know this is true, right? For many of us, he has said the same thing to us over and over and over and over, more than three times. Can I get an amen from the grown-ups? It's so good that God is patient. Calls Samuel a third time. Samuel! And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And then, the third time, Eli gets it. He realizes that the Lord was calling the boy. And so he says to Samuel, go and lie down. And this time, if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay back down. Now, let's stop here for the second point in this sermon. Kids, if you're not taking notes, pay attention. If you are taking notes, second point, you're going to want to write this down. Get yourself an Eli. Can you say that? Get yourself an Eli. Grown-ups, we need to hear this too. This is especially true for you bigger kids, right? It is so important. It is so good for you to get yourself an Eli. Here's what I mean by this, okay? Big kids especially, listen to me on this one, all right? You need to get yourself an Eli. You need to get yourself someone that you trust who's older than you, perhaps wiser than you, certainly further along than you, that you trust who will help you to pay attention to God, who will help you listen for the voice of God, to hear the voice of God. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. We're going to check this if you want candy. I want you to write down, who is my Eli? Who is my Eli? If you've already got one or two Elis in your life, write down those names. If you've already got in your life people who are a little bit further along than you, who help you to listen to the voice of God, write down their names. I've got several. My parents, my wife, of course. But let me tell you about my friend Pastor Mary. You guys, some of you know Pastor Mary. She hangs out here at Trinity a bit when she's not busy being a grandma or doing work for the bishop. But every few months, Pastor Mary and I get together for coffee or for lunch, and she asks me some really good questions about my life and about my work and about my walk with God. She helps me pay attention. She asks me questions like, what do you think God is doing in that? Or what do you think God might be saying to you there? And when I'm feeling stuck, I can call her. She's an Eli in my life. Now, let me add, for what it's worth, I view my job as a priest primarily as helping people to worship God and helping people to pay attention to God. That's the whole point of a sermon. The whole point of a sermon is to help us pay attention to God and what God might be saying to us. Okay, so let's review. What's the first point, kids?
God still speaks.
God speaks, that's right. Thank you, Benjamin. What's the second point? Get yourself an Eli. Should we review one more time? First one, God speaks. Second, get yourself an Eli. Kids, turn around and tell the grown-ups, get yourself an Eli. Doesn't matter how old you are. I just told you I've got lots of Elis. I just told you about my Elis. I mean, we could always use more Elis. Still true for me. Doesn't matter how old you are, you still need Elis, right? And probably you reach an age where perhaps your Elis are younger than you. That's wonderful too. Now, point three. Are you ready? Point three. Be an Eli. Can you say that?
Be an Eli.
Be an Eli. That's right. Be the sort of person who knows those younger than you in the church and points them to Jesus. Grown-ups, I'm looking at you. Every time we baptize a child, we make promises. Those promises are that we will pray for those kids and that we will help them grow up in Christ. That's a promise that we, as a church, make every time we baptize a kid. What does this mean? It means we're supposed to be Elis.
I'm not Eli.
You're not an Eli yet. But let me tell you, Nia, do you have a younger brother? Yeah. And there's going to be a point in like a year or two or 3 years when you're like much bigger than him. I mean, you're already much bigger than him. When it's going to be part of your job as a Christian to help him hear the voice of God. It's part of the job. Big brothers, big sisters. To help our younger siblings, or frankly, to help each other, hear the voice of God. You notice Eli isn't annoyed by Samuel. You notice that? He doesn't ignore Samuel. He takes Samuel seriously. And he plays a huge role in Samuel's life. Eli is available. Eli's humble. Eli's trustworthy. He knows the young Samuel. He's developed a relationship with him. Heck, he even changes course when he realized he was wrong the first few times. And he helps Samuel grow into a relationship with God that is going to be so significant for the life of God's people. Kids, do you know this? What Samuel is going to go on to do? Samuel is going to be the one that's going to go on to anoint King David. When David is a kid, Samuel will hear the voice of God again and tell David, you'll be king. And David's a pretty important king, pretty important person. And so grown-ups, please hear me on this. Be an Eli. Be an Eli. This church is teeming with kids. If it wasn't a holiday weekend with a pending snowstorm, there would probably be like three times as many children in this room. So let's be the sort of people who help each other and who especially help them hear the voice of God. Now, on to verse 10. The Lord came and stood, calling at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. This is what happens at the end. The Lord comes again. He's so patient with us. And he calls again, Samuel, Samuel. And what does Samuel say this time? Speak, for your servant hears. Oh, it's so cool. God will go on to say all sorts of things to Samuel, both here and over his lifetime. God speaks and Samuel hears and Samuel speaks and God hears. So here's my final point, those of you who are taking notes. Samuel and God have a real relationship. They do. It's a real relationship. One where God speaks and Samuel hears. One where Samuel speaks and God hears. It's a real relationship, and it starts with listening and with the help of an older friend. And let me tell you, stop what you're doing right now. Well, finish scribbling your notes. I'll wait, because this is important enough. Okay. When you're ready, look up. You ready, Nia? Still see some scribbling, so I'm going to wait. Just a sec. We're just building anticipation in the room. Samuel has a real relationship with God. Well, God speaks, and Samuel hears. And Samuel speaks, and God hears. And look at me. This is the most important thing I will say all morning, okay? You can have a real relationship with God too. Okay? Grown-ups, you can have a real relationship with God too. You can have a real relationship with God too, the kind where God speaks and you hear his voice, and where you speak and he hears you. Let me tell you, the easiest way to do that is to start your mornings and your evenings like Samuel did. That phrase, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Can you repeat that back to me? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." That is such a good prayer. It is such a good prayer. You start your day like that. And then let me tell you the second step. You can say that all you like. Like if you wake up, you lie in bed, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then you swing your feet down and you get on with your day. Do you think you're actually going to hear the voice of God very often? No. But let me tell you, if you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," and then you wait. If you climb in bed at night, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," and then you just listen. Or grown-ups, if you hit a point in your day, you're ready to stretch your legs, you go outside, you want to walk, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," you go on a walk and you wait. You won't hear the audible voice of God every time, like Samuel did. But I can tell you, what was our first point? God speaks. God speaks, right? And then you can talk back, and he hears you. You can listen and respond. Samuel talked to God like you talk to a friend, and you can too. Your prayer life doesn't have to be fancy, let me tell you right now. In fact, it shouldn't be fancy. You know, most of you have heard me pray at some point. I don't really pray fancy prayers, right? I think God loves our prayers when they're short and when they're simple. And Samuel teaches us to turn our attention back to God, to turn our attention towards God, to listen and to respond, to ask those further along than us to help us grow in our relationship with God, to trust those friends and to trust God. These are things you can start doing no matter how young you are, okay? Look at me right now, kindergartners, preschoolers, doesn't matter how young you are, these are things you can start doing. You can talk to God. When you're 3, you can talk to God, right? When you're 2, you can talk to, I'm pretty certain Maverick, who was helping do our first reading, that God hears his voice, right? You're never too old, you're never too young to start or grow a relationship with God. And so let me encourage you, why not start today? Let's stand up. Kids, you can make your way back to your seats. And let's pray. Gracious God, thank you that you do, in fact, still speak. God, thank you that we can know you. We can have a relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would help us to be Eli's. God, would you draw Eli's into our life? God, I pray that our church would just be full of those sorts of relationships, where we're helping each other to hear the voice of God. Owen, would you help us, I pray, by your Holy Spirit, to be attentive to your voice. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord.